Good morning and welcome to the church congregation and anyone else listening into this sermon again that we are recording here for May 16, 2021. Again, this service and the week goes by so fast seemingly, and here we are recording again for another Sunday morning. And may God bless you for tuning in. May God bless you for taking part in this sermon. And I do want to thank the song leaders. I want to thank Danny again for recording it, and Pastor Jay Weeb for putting it online. And today's topic for the sermon this morning is called Blessings. Blessings are associated with happiness and welfare. We should strive to be blessed and bless. Should we bow for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you again that you're God. We thank you that you had your people already right from Adam and Eve, and that you walked and you talked and you shared time with your people right from the beginning with Adam and Eve. And you already blessed them. You blessed Noah, you blessed Abraham, and you blessed his descendants, Isaac and Jacob and David and many, many more. You blessed in particular. And Lord God, I believe that you have done that so that we can learn from it. And Lord God, I thank you that not only those that you blessed, but you blessed each one of us individually. In a special, personal way, you blessed us with your Son, Jesus, that came and took our punishment and blessed us with forgiveness by dying for our sins and giving us life everlasting. And also peace on earth and joy. And God, for that, we just thank you so much. God, we thank you too that you have made it so that we can record services, and that we can serve in this time of restrictions. And God, I just pray that you will bless each one that has listened, and I pray that you would be with us as a church. Lord, I pray for your guidance in this recording of this sermon. I pray for your guidance for the people that will listen, and be with us with your Holy Spirit. Be with the shut-ins, and be with especially those that find it very lonely. Be with them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit. Bless them with it. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we'll have two songs to begin with.
In your red hymnals, page 144, I gave my life for thee. 144.
My Father's son. suffered much for thee, nor than my tongue can tell. Our bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me?
While Jesus whispers to you, 130.
While Jesus whispers to you, come, sinner, come. While we are praying for you, come. Sinner, come. Now is the time to own him. Come, sinner, come. Now is the time to know him. Come, sinner, come. Are you too heavy laden? Come. Sinner, come. Jesus will bear your burden. Come, sinner, come. Jesus will not deceive you. Come, sinner, come. Jesus can now redeem you. Sinner, come. Oh, hear his tender pleading. Come, sinner, come. Come and receive the blessing. Come, sinner, come. While Jesus whispers to you, come. Sinner, come. While we are praying for you, come. Sinner, come.
Thank you to song leaders for being willing to pre-record those songs. And I kind of like it the way they are doing it. They're using the mics. And we can hear you. Song leaders, we can hear you when you're singing. You are so clear. Keep up doing your best in singing as well. So as I already said, the topic for this sermon is blessings. And we should seek to be blessed. And I come about this topic from reading through the Old Testament. And when we read through the Old Testament, especially in the beginning of the Old Testament, up to like Samuel and Chronicles, David's life and so, there it mentions it a number of times that he shall be blessed and stay blessed. Like we find it in Genesis 27 verse 33. There we read this verse. And Isaac and Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, Where is he that hath taken the venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou comest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. Those lines caught my attention. Yea, and he shall be blessed. This is Isaac that said this here. But there is also different places where God says so, that David shall be blessed. Solomon shall be blessed. 1 Kings 2, verse 45. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. Those are the lines that come about where this sermon and this topic comes about. Then when we turn for scripture verse to Psalms 146, verse 5 and 6, there we read, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keep truth forever. The word happy there also stands for blessed. Blessed is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. We can find many scripture verses like this, and we can see and learn from them. And that's what my goal is again for this sermon, that we will be encouraged and learn from them. It speaks of Ishmael is blessed. Esau shall be blessed. Those people that Abraham and Jacob or Isaac would have thought that they should be the ones that should carry on the inheritance, the promise of God, they didn't understand it the right way. They assumed the firstborn or so should have it, but God said no. Isaac, and in Isaac the earth shall be blessed. And Esau was the firstborn, but God already knew that he wanted, and Jacob would be the one that would need to and would carry on the blessing and the heritage or the lineage of Jesus. We know, and I even mentioned it in the last sermon or the sermon before that, that Jacob had stolen the birthright from Esau. He did it, but I believe he did it because of his mom and himself were impatient. We find it that God didn't intervene. I believe absolutely that if it hadn't been so, that Isaac was supposed to bless Jacob with that blessing, God would have intervened. But the blessing belonged to Jacob. God had created in such a way, and that is why he did it. If Jacob hadn't done it that way, God would have orchestrated it that way, that Jacob would have still received a blessing. I'm fairly convinced on that. We only need to take a look at the Arab countries, and we see that God blessed them. But I kind of noted it as I was studying for this. God blessed Esau, Ishmael, and those people more so materially. They are there. God did not forget them. God blessed Jacob over and over. God blessed David over and over. God said of Abraham, he was blessed because Abraham had listened to his word, kept his commandments. Genesis 2, verse 8, 22, verse 18. And that is what I note when I study for this and when I read the Bible and listen to why and how did God choose those individuals and said so much about those individuals. And here's God himself says this. Genesis 22, verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Abraham failed in many areas, but he hadn't failed in this area that he wouldn't be blessed. God had seen it. Another place says that God also chose Abraham and chose to bless Abraham because he knew that Abraham would teach his children. This is what we find to be the key to be blessed by God, to keep believing God's word and obeying it. David's generation was blessed because of David's heart. We see that a number of times when we read through the Old Testament and into those generations there, David's descendants, the kings in his generation, obeyed and disobeyed, obeyed and disobeyed. And God could have taken the kingdom away from them and done away with the whole generations and with the whole family, but God had kept remembering David, kept remembering what David had to say and how David treated life, treated people. David also made mistakes, but he also repented of those mistakes and turned back to God in the right way and made amends even for making big mistakes. So we may ask, what is a blessing according to the Bible? Or why was a father's blessing so highly valued in the Old Testament? Does it still matter if we are blessed by our fathers in this day and age? What is a blessing? Blessings are associated with happiness and welfare. So we see when we look at that, and with that statement that blessings are associated with happiness and welfare, that is exactly the desire of us people. We people want to be happy and we want to have material. We want to have materialism. We want to have security. And when you read through the Bible, you can see that God promised exactly those two things. He promises the children of Israel over and over. And he does promise the very same things to us now in the New Testament era too. He wants to bless us and he wants to have us to have happiness and also to have welfare. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 31. This is where Jacob wrestles with God, it said, when he was about to meet Esau, his brother. We need to remember, or I want to at least make a note of it, that Jacob had fled from his brother Esau for fear of being killed by him because he had deceived his father Isaac and taken the birthright from him. Then Jacob had been majorly blessed by getting married and working for Laban, and now he was he felt and he was sent back by God to go back to his home, to where he grew up, and to go to Esau and Isaac, his father, to his brother and his father, and he was scared of Esau. So he was making some plans on how he was going to approach Esau and how he was going to try to have meet him peacefully and so that Esau wouldn't kill him. And then we find this recording here in Genesis 32, 22 to 31. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jobab. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent them over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the break of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. the him here, as he wrestled with him, that is exactly what is referred to. Jacob wrestles with God. He wrestled with the angel of God. We believe, I understand it, that he wrestled with an angel. And the angel touched him. The angel put his tie out of joint. And then in verse 26, I understand it to mean, and he said, the angel said, let me go, for the day break it. And he said, and I believe it means, and Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. That's the key verse here out of this reading. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. So the angel asked him, what is your name? And Jacob said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. So here I understand, and I get the reading from that. Jacob won the wrestle with the angel. He would not have let go of the angel till he was blessed. And the angel admitted it, that he had won the battle. But the battle was not about just the physical strength, but about the determination to be blessed. Let's keep that in mind, that he was determined to be blessed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. So he got his blessing. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for he had seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. See, there he says, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He limped. He walked lame. From there on in, he walked lame, the Bible says. So we see here, in verse 30, Jacob realized, my life is preserved. So I believe that there Jacob realized, and there Jacob won the battle, and then he was free to go and meet his brother Esau. He still was very cautious, and he still was very cautious on how he met his brother Esau, but he continued going. He continued going. We see the benefit. I see the benefit that Jacob got there from seeking after a blessing from God and receiving the blessing. He was able to meet his brother Esau and make peace again. And the two of them were able to be with their father, Isaac, before he died. And Esau and Jacob, both of them together, were able to bury their father. Jacob had fought for God's blessing. This would not have happened if he would have not fought for God's blessing. He would not have been able to meet his brother Esau and be with his father if he had not done that. So further on, what is a blessing? I want to give us that understanding of what a blessing is with scripture and with comments. What is a blessing? God gives blessings. In Genesis 1, God blessed the sea, creatures, and birds, telling them to be fruitful and multiply. Similarly, God said to Adam in verse 28 of Genesis 2, I believe it is. Genesis 1. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it, over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So we see there, and right from the beginning, God blessed. God is not the only one who pronounces blessings. As I already said, blessings are happiness and prosperity, well-doing. And we see that that's what God said to the people, to Adam and Eve here, and be fruitful and multiply. And God blessed them and said unto them, God is not the only one who pronounces blessings. We see in Genesis 24, verse 60, we see that when Isaac had, I will read that here, 24, verse 60. When Abraham had sent his worker to go and find a wife for his son Isaac, he had found Rebecca, and they had talked and they had negotiated, so to say. They had made arrangements that Rebecca would go with him, and she would be Isaac's wife. And as Rebecca was saying goodbye to her family, we see in Genesis 24, verse 60, and they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebecca rose and her damsel, and they rode upon the camels and followed the men, and the servant took Rebecca and went his way. So we see here that God, it isn't just God that blessed and pronounces blessings, but also families. The families blessed her, and everything came through. Those blessings, those wishes, we could say here, came through in Rebecca's life. Was everything roses for Rebecca after this? Absolutely not. She had many hard days, many hard things, but also this happened to her. This happened for her. Her family blessed him. When Isaac was ready to die, he blessed his son Jacob. In the New Testament, the Beatitudes of Matthew 5 and Luke 6 describe the happy state of those who find their purpose and fulfillment in God. The best life is available for those who love and fear God and order their lives according to His Word. In other words, those that live according to His Word. Choose to live according to God's Word. That the best life is available for them because God is on their side. We want to now for a little bit look at the New Testament side on blessings. And right now we want to turn to Romans chapter 4 verse 6 and to 8. And here, this is here alludes to David again, even as David also described the blessedness of man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. We see here this. This happy blessing to those whose sins are forgiven, for they know the relationship to God has been restored. Their relationship has been restored to by them of God. From this we see that a blessing is a statement of goodwill and happiness that is said about us and about others, as well as the condition that fulfills those good words. God's desire for mankind is to experience prosperity, peace, and fulfillment. The ultimate blessing that God has given is the new life and forgiveness that comes through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. The material blessing we enjoy from day to day are temporary, but the spiritual blessings available to us in Christ encompass time and eternity. as well as material and immaterial things. Why was a father's blessing so highly valued in the Old Testament? Did it make a difference in their lives? Receiving a blessing from one's father was a high honor, and losing a blessing was similar to a curse. Old Testament blessings of a father to his sons included words of encouragement, details regarding each son's inheritance, and prophetic words concerning the future. Let's take a look at Genesis 49, verses 1 to 7, of that comment that I just made. Genesis 49, verses 1 to 7. This is where we find where Jacob blessed his sons. Jacob was amazing how Jacob was able to bless his sons and give these blessings just before he died. I thought about this, that he wasn't able to see properly, because we read that when he blessed Joseph his sons, that he couldn't really see them. Joseph put them in front of him, came to see his father. Joseph came to see his father with his two sons. And then Jacob said, "Let me bless the two of your sons." And it wasn't coincidentally. It was a tradition. It was a habit. It was proper for it to happen. And they knew how it happened, and that the older one should be blessed normally first, and also that the older one would be on the right hand side. There was ways of that they did it. And so Joseph came and brought his two sons carefully towards Jacob so he could put his hands upon his sons and bless them. And then Jacob crossed his arms and blessed them. And Joseph saw what was happening, and he didn't think that was right, and he thought that because his dad couldn't see, he was mistaken. He would correct it, and Jacob said to Joseph, "I know very well what I'm doing." And he blessed the younger before the older. Just like God would have wanted it. There was a reason why God would have wanted that. But also in Genesis 49, verses 1 to 7, we see here then, Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together that I may tell you what that which shall befall you in the last days." That is quite a statement that he says. What shall befall you in the last days? Like I already said, those blessings would include prophetic words concerning their future. "Gather yourselves together," in verse 2, "and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hear, hearken unto your father Israel." And then he starts. But notice here, the first verses here, the first three blessings, weren't really blessings. "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, and mighty, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and excellency of power, unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, and defiledest thou it. He went up to my coach." So we can find that in Genesis 35, verse 22. We can find why he couldn't receive this blessing. Genesis 35, verse 22. "Because he had defiled his father's concubine." He had committed sin with his father's concubine, and because of that, he couldn't receive a blessing, but rather he was left without a blessing, which in turn was as a curse. And so in the Bible, we find out that even though it was called a blessing, sometimes it was a curse. And it happened to him. It was very real in his life. And then in verse 5, we see, "Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their inhabitations. O my soul, come not thou unto their secret. unto their assembly, mine honor. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So there again, those two, Levi and Simeon, did not get the blessing as the others nine did. Because they had gone and murdered the people, they had murdered the people that had defiled their sister, but they also had convinced the whole city there where their sister was defiled. They had convinced them that allow yourselves to be circumcised, and then we will live peaceably with you. But their intention was totally wrong, and they did the wrong thing. And they, on the third day after the circumcision, they slew every one of them in their anger. And that's what he's referring to here. Cursed is their anger. So we see there, those three of Jacob's 12 sons missed out on blessings because of previous decisions that they had done in their life. And that is part of the point that I am trying to make through this sermon. And the encouragement that I want to make and give us all is to seek for a blessing from our God and from our fathers as well. And then he says in verse 9, Judah is a lion, whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he coached as a lion, and as an old lion who shall rouse up him up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. This is directly prophesying about Jesus. Jesus would be born through his and out of his lineage. Verse 11, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass colt in a choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of the grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. So, and that is a huge prophecy there. I will not go into detail there, but that is what Jacob blessed Judah with and what he prophesied about Judah. Then in verse 13, the next son, Zebulun, shall dwell at the heaven of the sea. He shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be to Zidon. That happened, literally that happened. Issachar is a strong ass coaching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good, and the land that is, it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulders to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heel, so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. And so we see here all these verses here, all these words here, how Jacob blessed his sons, how he blessed them, and how he particularly was led by God to do those things, and they came true. And then as I continue reading this chapter and thinking about this, verse 33 concludes this chapter. When Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. How blessed to do that and to be in such company and to have such a God as that leading him that he couldn't see properly in those, and so he had complications, but he had a clear mind right to the end of his life. As though God had said to him that night or that afternoon, whichever it was, he would die, and he had to do those few things. He had to do them. He had to command his sons, give them commands and give them orders what they were supposed to do and not supposed to do. And then he yielded up his ghost and died. So from this, I believe we can learn that we should be very careful of what we do so we can be blessed of our fathers and ultimately be blessed by God. One more example about blessings we can take from the Ark of the Covenant. With the people that feared God was a blessing to them. When the Ark of the Covenant was with the people that believed in God, the Ark was a blessing to them. But when the Ark of the Covenant was with the Philistines, there it was not a blessing to them. In fact, we find and we read in the Bible that when they started realizing that that ark did not belong to them and that that ark was not a blessing to them, they wanted to get rid of it badly. And they were so scared to get rid of it that they sent it away with oxen loose, with no one guiding it. They just sent them onto the field and out into the direction of the children of Israel. And so that's how they got the ark back from the Philistines. And so I want to go to that now a little bit and just go to 2 Samuel 6 about the Ark of the Covenant and take a few examples from there and encourage us with that as well. 2 Samuel 6, verse 11. And the Ark of the Covenant continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. There is a statement that when the Ark was in his house, at his place, then he was blessed amazingly, like beyond any other blessings. I won't read this whole chapter here, but you can read this whole chapter here if you're not familiar with this here. David had learned that the Ark of the Covenant was at a certain place from when the oxen had gone into the field there, and then it had come to a certain place. And now he wanted to bring it to the city of David. He wanted to bring it to his city. And he assembled, gathered many people of Israel, 30,000 of them, it says in verse 1. And then they were going to do this. And then when they had been driving a ways and they had to cross a creek or a river, the oxen were going too fast and the ark would have fallen over, the wagon would have fallen over or so in verse 7 or in verse 6. And Uzzah put forth his hand to protect it so it wouldn't fall over. And God had said, already way before this, he had said, the ark should not be touched. It had special handles, it had special rods and staves through whereby it should be carried, and the ark itself should not be touched. Which we learn too is a symbol of God being with his people. So we could somewhat like say that was God with his people. And it should not be touched. And he and Uzzah did. He touched it. And God stayed by his word, and Uzzah died right on the spot there. And then in verse 9, because of that, David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come unto me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. And so David carried it aside unto the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. So and then it was there by Obedim, the Gittite, and then he was blessed. Just he was blessed beyond. And then in verse 12, it says, "And it was told King David, saying, The Lord hath blessed the house of Obedim and all that pertained unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obedim into the city of David with gladness." So then he found courage again, and he went and got the ark and brought it to the city of David. And they were blessed. And then when we skip over to chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, we see here the benefit in what happened to David once the ark was in his city. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest around about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See how I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And then there is the beginning of David preparing to build a temple, that God could dwell in the temple. But the point that I'm taking here from these verses here is that the ark of the covenant was a piece, and it's very shallowly said a piece, but it was a reminder of them that when God was with them, then they were blessed. Then even the enemies had rest of them and feared them. So we see the Ark of the Covenant with the people that feared God was a blessing to them. We now in the New Testament time have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit with us. The triune God. We are just as blessed as they were in the Old Testament. When Jesus is and with us, we are blessed. As Christians, how do we access all of these blessings? They are available to everyone who is in Christ Jesus. When we believe that Christ died to take our punishment and now lives to give us a new life, he grants us forgiveness of sin and all the blessings that accompany that salvation. But these blessings still come with the same request. We must surrender to God's will. We are asked to live accordingly. We are given a list of the fruits that we should have in our Christian walk in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. And I want to allude to that a little bit. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 and 23. Up to verse 26. These are the fruits that we're supposed to have when we want these blessings. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So these are standards. These are statements that I believe that God has given us that we are to live by if we want to have these blessings from us, with us, in these blessings to be for us. So I want to conclude now on this subject about us as Christians. How do we access all of these blessings? We can find out the principles, or we could say the criteria that we need to meet. We can find them in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. There chapter 1, verse 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So first it blesses God and says, blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of his children by Christ, Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherewith he had made us accept in his beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded to us with us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So verse 11 kind of points to that, what I want to say. We are blessed in Christ, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So we have been, we are so blessed with a heavenly blessing. We are blessed with everything that we can desire ever to have, because it's eternity. We are blessed. We're promised blessings materially, but also we are blessed spiritually. Blessed into the future. And then I want to go to Matthew chapter 5 yet, which I alluded a little bit to already before, that there is conditions that we are to have to be blessed. And Matthew chapter 5 outlines that very well on the conditions that we need to live by in order to receive and be blessed. Matthew chapter 5 verses 1 to 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mount, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall see, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So there is credentials there here too, that we can see that we need to meet. We need to be merciful. We need to be pure in heart. We need to be pacemakers. We need to mourn. We need to be meek. And we need to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness in order to have all these blessings and enjoy all these blessings. What about you? Have you been blessed by your father and mother? Are you blessing your family? Are you a blessing to others? I believe I'm safe to say that it is still just as important to be blessed and bless as it was in the Old Testament time. I see thousands of people looking for blessings and not receiving it because their parents didn't receive it either and don't know how to give it. Amos Raber sings a song that he sings about it, that this couple falls in love and get married and try to love each other, but they don't know how to love because they have never received real love. And that speaks volumes to me, because we need to know what real love is in order to give real love. And so it is also, we need to know what a blessing is in order to give a blessing. So if we haven't received a blessing, that doesn't mean we can't give a blessing. Because of the power of God and because of the grace of God, and through His Word and through the regeneration, through the new birth in Jesus Christ, we can receive the grace to extend blessings to others even if we haven't received them. But all in all, I see that people, there is many, many people and many, many children longing for approval, so to say, from their parents, and they don't get them. And that, in turn, produces very sad children, very unstable children and unstable families. And in long term, it produces an unstable country. So let's think about it. And I myself, I have been reprimanded, and the Holy Spirit has reprimanded it, me, and I have had to change my mind, and I need to change my mind even more often on not reprimanding my children. And they're older now already, it doesn't happen near as often, but we are made in such a way by God that we need approvals. We need to be approved. And so it's much easier for us to just complain about the job that they did instead of praise it. And that's how I believe it goes a long way, deep, deep into our lives it goes, that by when we approve and when we appreciate what happens and what our children do for us or so on, and we can find the right way to do that, we bless them and they are happy in that area. I dare to say that there is thousands of people cursing their mom and dad because they were never approved. They never were blessed. They were never spoken well of. They were never given the thumbs up, so to say. And now, in turn, the parents aren't blessed by their children either. And so I wrote the last note here: when we continually disapprove what our children do, they feel cursed. When we approve, they and we feel blessed. So let's think about this. Let's approve things and let's seek to be blessed by others, and so we can bless others. So as I kind of made about three or four points here. What is a blessing according to the Bible? Why was a father's blessing so highly valued in the Old Testament? Does it still matter if we are blessed by our fathers in this day and age? I really believe it does. We should be looking for it. I believe that when we as fathers approve and of our children or speak well to them or so, that's a blessing to them. I am reminded so well of when I used to be in the DVBS board, and we would make plans and we would do certain things, and then others would approve of the decisions that we had made. It just gave you special energy. And it also gives me special energy when I am approved and blessed of my Father, when God, when He blesses me or when He wishes me well, so to say. That gives us special energy. And would we do that? Would we continue doing that? I don't mean that we have to say when somebody does a sloppy job or doesn't do a good job that then he still needs to be praised. But we sure can be praised so that our physical, emotional well-being can stay healthy. And I believe it is biblical. We can see that. Throughout the Bible, we can see that. Noah blessed his sons. One he didn't bless because one didn't do a very good job in one particular thing. And it followed him right throughout his life. It followed him. So may God bless you for listening to this service, and may we seek to see where we could be a better blessing to people, and where we need maybe to wrestle with God and say, I will not let go of you until you have blessed me. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Let's close in a prayer. Heavenly Father, this day again we thank you that we have your word, and God, it is full of teachings. It's full of examples of bad happenings and good happenings to people, and experiences, very, very hard and very, very bad experiences. And you led them through that too, and you were with them. But we also see that if you are in the midst of the people, and if you are in their hearts, which we believe you are in our hearts, in Christians' lives, and so we can be so blessed, and we are so blessed. And Lord God, I want to pray that you will forgive me and forgive us for sometimes not feeling blessed, even when we are. Because you, as the Ark of the Covenant, are right there with us. Lord God, help us to see that you are now, we don't need, so to say, a box, even though the Ark of the Covenant was way more than just a box, but it was an object. And I believe it was a lesson. It was a picture, a foreshadow of you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one day living in our lives, in our hearts, living, being with us continually, all the time. We don't have to go to no temple. We don't have to go to no place anywhere in order to have you with us. And so, God, we just thank you that is possible now in the New Testament era. We have that spiritual blessing, that spiritual way, so amazingly can comfort us and can guide us and can protect us and give us courage and help us in hard times and help us to stand up again and try again, even though we were cast down already. And all that, we just can do that because you're there. And for that, I just thank you. I thank you that you counted us worthy to be a part of that inheritance, that eternal inheritance one day in heaven. And Lord God, if there's anyone listening to this message and being part of this prayer and doesn't know what that is like or doesn't have that assurance, I pray that they would seek for that they would want to have that blessing to be with them. God, I pray your blessing on this service, and I pray your blessing on the church. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We'll conclude with two songs then.
401 in your blue hymnal, Where He Leads I'll Follow, page 401.
Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He, the great example, is a pattern for me. Sweet is the tender love Jesus has shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he, the great example is a pattern for me. Every day. List to his loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior, and thy soul is secure. Where he leads, I'll follow. leads, I'll follow home. Follow Jesus every day.
271 in your blue hymnals. Jesus, I my cross have taken. 271.
Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow Thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken, Thou from hence my all shall be. Perish every fond ambition, all I sought. God and heaven are still my home. Let the world despise and leave me, they have left my Savior too. Human hearts and looks deceive me, Thou art not like men. And all is bright. Men may trouble and distress me, 'twill but drive me to Thy breast. Life with trials hard may press me, and will bring me sweeter rest. Oh, 'tis not in grief to harm me, while Thy love is left to me. Oh, 'twere not in joy to charm me, were that joy unmixed with Thee. Haste Thee on from grace to glory, arm my faith and swift shall pass thy pilgrim days. Hope shall change to glad fruition, faith to sight and prayer to praise.
And then in closing, I want to bless you again with a benediction. In number 6, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. So God be with you again through the next week. Pray for Pastor Martin so he can record a message about Pentecost, the sending of the Holy Spirit. Pray for the whole church in general and everything that is happening. Pray that the restrictions will be lifted so that we can meet in church again. God bless, and see you again. Thanks for your prayers.